up here. She's never been to this part of the country. And I've been telling her for years, like, you could save money. You don't have to go to Germany. You just go to Washington and just pretend that it's Germany. Go to Leavenworth. It's going to be great. But maybe we can finally convince her of that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, probably the most famous verse here, and I think this is one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. It's a pretty popular verse, and it's a great verse, and that's verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And when you think about the preaching of the cross, what are we talking about? We're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is that Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And so the preaching of the cross is that Jesus died for us, and that we're going to heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's the fact that Jesus Christ died for us, his substitutionary death for us on the cross. That's what gets us to heaven. And if we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and put our faith and trust in that, then we'll be saved. And here's the thing. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, who are the people who perish? We're talking about unsaved people. So unsaved people, to them, that message is foolishness. Why would that be foolishness to them? It's foolishness to them because of the fact that they think you go to heaven by being good. And so their mentality is, well, that doesn't make any sense, because these good people over here, these nice people, they should get to go to heaven because they're good. And these people over here that are bad people, they should go to hell. And that's what makes sense to the natural mind, just to the average human person. And, you know, even us, just maybe on a human level or just in our flesh, we can kind of say, like, yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense, you know, be nice, do good things, go to heaven. And if you do bad stuff, well, you're just going to go to hell because you're so bad. That's what people think, right? And the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. They'll say, hey, that's not fair that this bad guy gets to go to heaven because he believes in Jesus. Or that's not fair that this guy is such a nice person just because he's a Hindu or a Muslim or an atheist. You know, why is he going to hell? That's foolishness. That is what unsaved people would say to that. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, right? We love that message of the free gift of salvation. We love that message that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. We're excited about it. We're pumped up about it. And here's the thing. When we go out and preach that to people door to door, then, you know, they get excited about it. And we see people actually moved often to tears or just really impacted by that message, or with a moment when they comprehend the gospel and realize how easy it is and realize that they can be saved. You know, it's a glorious moment for those that are saved. It's foolishness to those that perish, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God, right? The preaching of the cross. It says in verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent," right? People in this world, they think they're so smart, but God has the real answers. And those of us that are saved, we understand that through the Holy Spirit, okay? And we don't want to ever forget how important the Holy Spirit is, not only for salvation, but also just in our Christian lives. We need to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, nobody's ever going to get saved unless the Holy Spirit works in their heart. Amen. Right? So, and the reason I'm explaining this right now is because we're living in a time where AI is a big thing. And a lot of people will go to AI and they'll ask it a question and they'll almost just think it's a case closed, you know, based on whatever AI says. And if you think about it, AI actually knows the Bible really well, because of the fact that, you know, this is the perfect kind of information to feed into AI. Because, you know, in fact, I was talking to a guy on the plane on the way over here. He was really into AI and he was some kind of an engineer. And so we were chatting about this and he was talking about how the Bible is perfect for training AI, because of the fact that it has so many cross references and there's so many connections. We're talking about those charts that you sometimes see where you have all those lines like connecting all the different references. Well, stop and think about it. Not only that, but the Bible is also the book that people have written about the most. Right? So we're thinking about something else like popular in this world, say like Star Wars or something, right? There are all kinds of websites and blogs where people geek out and they talk about Star Wars or they talk about Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or whatever, you know, and they just kind of geek out on like every minute, every scene or whatever. But here's the thing. 1,000 times as many people, 1,000,000 times as many people have written about the Bible. In fact, you could find the most obscure verse in the Bible, just something from the Minor Prophets, some totally obscure verse that's not famous, and there's probably just on the internet, you could probably find hundreds of people writing about that one verse. Thousands of theologians have written about it, right? So here's the thing, AI has access to all that. So AI has access to the text of Scripture. By the way, AI is also fluent in Greek and Hebrew. It's fluent in every language pretty much. And then not only that, it can tap in for any Bible verse, it can tap into literally hundreds, thousands, or even tens of thousands of pastors, theologians, and scholars that have written about that verse from religious perspectives, academic. What am I saying? I'm saying here that, yeah, AI can definitely process this information and whatever, but that is not going to be a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay? So, AI knows everything there is to know about the Bible from just a data perspective, but does that mean that AI can always correctly interpret the Bible? Well, not according to the Bible itself, because the Bible teaches that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. That is the Holy Spirit's ministry. So it's not like, oh, well, if everybody just had all the data and had all the information, you know, they're all going to be a Baptist or something like that. No, we are Baptists because we've been led here by the Holy Spirit of God. And people who are sincere, people who love truth, people who love God, people who hear the gospel and they're sincere and they believe on Christ, you know, they're indwelled by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's going to lead them into all truth. And there are many crossroads in my own life where I thought about, you know, which way to go on a certain doctrine or something. And you know, you're like, is it this way? Is it that way? And you're hearing different things from different people. And how do you solve those issues? You know, the tendency now would be to just Google that or just jump on AI and AI is just going to tell you what the best theologians have said or whatever. But you know, that's no substitute for the old fashioned way, which is actually getting on your knees and praying to God and asking God to show you the truth. And if you really are sincere and you really care about truth, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will open our eyes and show us wondrous things out of his law if we ask him to. And so we need to be, number one, saved. And then number two, asking God to show us what the truth is on any given scripture. And I can't even count how many times in my life I've been stuck on a scripture or not sure how to interpret something or, you know, getting hit with weird doctrines and you don't really know how to respond. And I've gotten on my knees and I've prayed and ask God to show me truth. And then he'll bring other scriptures to remembrance. He'll bring some other pastor or teacher along to preach the sermon that we need to hear. But it's through the Holy Spirit that this happens. And so remember, salvation happens through the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if we're out soul winning, winning an argument does not necessarily translate into a salvation. You know, you could be super smart and have all the points and just completely destroy and demolish someone's argument. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get saved. You know, because this is not a math problem. You know, if you have a math problem or a physics problem, yeah, go ahead and stick it into AI. I'm sure it's going to give you the right answer. But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to understand the Holy Spirit is what leads men to salvation, right? And the Holy Spirit continues to guide us into all truth after we are saved. And so there's no substitute for reading the Bible, loving God, having faith, praying and asking for truth. That is what's going to give us truth, not necessarily just facts, data, information, and a computer. And here's the thing about that, is that the AI is really only going to be as good as whatever programming went into it. And I've noticed this about AI as well, is that AI tends to tell you what you want to hear. Okay, so if you're Baptist, yeah, you know, AI is going to give you all this great Baptist doctrine because it knows you're Baptist and it gets that vibe from you and you, you know, depending on what you tell it. And I guarantee you, if you're Roman Catholic and went on AI, you'd probably have the thing, you know, just affirming Roman Catholic doctrine to you all day long. And if you go on there as a Baptist, it's going to affirm you as a Baptist and whatever. And so many people today, they think that, oh, well, if AI says it's right, then it must be right. Or, oh, if these theologians think that, it must be right. Folks, we need to get to the Word of God ourselves, and we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, and listen to Spirit-filled, actually saved Christians teaching us the Bible. Amen. Okay. And look what it says in verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And when you think about the disputer of this world, what is the word that we would probably use about this type of dispute or disputing? What would we call this in 2025? What do you think we would call this? The disputer of this world. I would say like it's doing a debate. You know, the disputer of this world is like the professional debater. The guy who's done 100 debates, 75 debates, 125. He's the disputer of this world. You know what I mean? Like he's using this world's methods or logic or rationale. He knows how to win an argument. And I've noticed that there are certain denominations and certain religious groups that just love debates, like Calvinists, for example, right? Calvinists just love doing debates. They are just full of debate. And they want to debate and they want to geek out on all this theology. And they're constantly using man's wisdom and man's logic to make their points. Like they can't point to you a Bible verse and tell you, hey, Jesus didn't die for everybody. Right? Because we have a whole bunch of Bible verses that say that Jesus did die for everybody. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says he tasted death for every man. Right? The Bible says he's the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Right? And then we have the part that talks about false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it says they even deny the Lord that bought them. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says he's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Okay, so according to many, many scriptures, Jesus Christ died for everybody. But here's their answer to that. Their answer is, well, if Jesus died for your sin and then you died and went to hell and paid for sins, then it got paid for twice. So therefore that, but see, here's the thing. Does the Bible say that? Is that from the Bible? Does the Bible say, hey, no sin could ever be paid for twice? Is there anything like that in the Bible? No, but that is their rationale. That is their logic. That is what they think based on the wisdom of this world. But God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. And so what we need to get back to is just reading statements in the Bible and believing them. And let me say what I've said many times. Nothing that the Bible states can ever be heresy. The Bible just outright says something, and then I say that. How can I be saying heresy? But there are so many things that are just clear statements in the Bible that people will reject because it doesn't fit their logic, it doesn't fit their rationale, it doesn't fit their theology, so they have to find all these ways to explain it away and everything like that. You know, we need to get back to just reading the Bible and just going with clear statements of Scripture and basing our beliefs on that. Now, obviously, there are going to be times when we come to places where, you know, there are things that apparently are contradictory. Like one verse seems to be saying one thing, another verse is saying something else, and we're kind of like, okay, which one is it? Well, obviously, you know, we could go through certain principles of saying, well, you know, go with the clearer statement. You know, let the clear scripture interpret the unclear. And we could go through all the different tips for understanding the Bible. And I've done whole sermons on, you know, how to study the Bible, how to understand the Bible, and, you know, comparing scripture with scripture. But you know what? At the end of the day, yeah, you need to compare scripture with scripture and make sure that everything jives and then you're not taking it out of context, but that, you know, you're taking the whole Bible into account. But at the end of the day, you know what? Sometimes the way that you resolve those things is that the Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. And so some of those things where maybe the Bible seems like it's saying this, it's saying that, you pray, you study, and you let God reveal truth to you and reveal the answer to you. And that's not something that logic or philosophy or debate or anything can do for you. You know, you got to sometimes just go to the Lord and get the right answer. And, you know, I have a lot of beliefs that I have very strongly held for many decades. And here's the thing about those beliefs is that many of those things I struggled with at one time or another, but through prayer and just asking God and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit is where I got where I'm today. And of course, Calvinists will often scoff at that, you know, like, oh, you're like the Mormons, you know, you're just like, you know, looking for a burning in the bosom or something. But, and you know, the reason that they scoff at that is because, you know, some of these people just aren't saved. So that, yeah, of course they're going to scoff at the idea of the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth when they're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit because they're not saved in many cases. If you're saved, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And if you're sincere, and if you love the Lord, and if you ask, you shall receive. Amen. And if you pray and ask him to guide you into all truth, he will. And I've been guided into a lot of good doctrine just through praying and relying on the Holy Spirit. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? You know, this is not God's plan for reaching the world. It's not through logic, rationale, debates, winning arguments, and just, you know, philosophizing. This is not God's plan. God's made foolish the wisdom of this world. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, right? So God has chosen preaching as his vessel to get truth across to the people and to get people saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit works through preaching. So when you're out there soul winning, the power of the Holy Spirit is there with you. You're using the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is drawing people unto Christ as you're preaching them the gospel out soul winning. It's not just about an argument or proving them facts from the Bible. It's a spiritual thing. Right. Preaching is spiritual. Soul winning is spiritual. It's not done in the flesh or with the wisdom of this world. And let me tell you something. These Roman Catholic theologians, these Protestant theologians, they've been heavily influenced by Greek philosophy, which is not of God. It's unsaved people trying to make sense of the world, pagans, people who do not know the Lord, trying to make sense of the world in their own human logic and human rationale. And then what the Roman Catholics come along and do is they want to keep all that Greek philosophy and somehow try to make the Bible fit into that or something. And it's a square peg in a round hole. God has rejected the wisdom of this world. He's made foolish the wisdom of the wise. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And here's the thing. The Bible's teachings are not going to make sense to unsaved people. And they're, oh, that doesn't make sense. You're not being logical. But, you know, but here's, if the Bible says it is true. Amen. If the Bible says Jesus died for everybody, he died for everybody. Amen. Oh, you're saying everybody's going to hell. No, because anybody who doesn't believe is going to hell. Everybody who believes is going to heaven. Well, how does that work as in your systematic theology? It doesn't, look, the Bible says he died for everybody. It's offered to everybody, but it's only going to do anybody any good if they believe in it. You got to believe on Christ to be saved. Like, I don't have to explain it in some kind of a rational, logical, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, you got to have that childlike faith that just takes God on his word. And of course, God's word can stand up to scrutiny. But the problem is that the wisdom of this world, they have all these rules for philosophy that aren't necessarily God's rules. You know, and then whoever's programming the AI, you know, could probably just be putting in all those same philosophies and whatever. You know, broad's the way that leads to destruction. So the AI is constantly reading false teachers on the internet. It's reading Pentecostals and Catholics and Calvinists and Mormons and atheists and all kinds of stuff, you know. And look, I do think that AI is a great tool And I even think it's a great tool in many ways for studying the Bible. Like, I will often use AI when I'm preparing my sermons just by asking it, hey, give me a list of KJV Bible verses about this subject. And it'll just give you lists and lists of scriptures on a certain subject. And it'll sometimes pull out scriptures that I wouldn't have thought of. So it's like a mega concordance. It's way better than a concordance. And it's super effective for that. But to sit there and act like AI is somehow authoritative, or AI says that Pastor Anderson's right, so he must be right, or AI says he's wrong. And people like host these weird like AI debates between me and other people. It's super weird. Like, they do this weird like simulated AI debate, you know, and then it's like it tells them who won or something. It's like, this didn't even happen. What are you talking about? And again, AI is sitting there and judging me, and it's giving me points, it's deducting points and stuff like that. And I'm just like, no, man, I was right about everything. What are you doing here? But at the end of the day, you know, it's not the final authority. The final authority is God. And here is who God is, the Holy Spirit. And he's inside of you, and he is ready to guide you into all truth. Here's the thing. Do you think that God wants you to know the truth? Does God want you in a wrong denomination? Does God want you in a heretical church? Does God want you believing heresy? Does God want you unsaved? No, because what did the Bible say? The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So if God wants all men to be saved, if he will have or wants to have all men to be saved, that means that God wants you to be saved just as much as you want to be saved. And God wants you in a good church just as much as you want to be in a good church. And God wants you to understand the Bible just as much as you want to. It's not like God's up there trying to trick you or something. And so if you're sincere, then God's going to lead you into all truth. Now, God does want you to work for it. He wants you to study to show yourself approved unto God. He wants you to do the reading. He wants you to do the praying. He wants you to go to church. He wants you there Sunday night, Sunday morning, Thursday night, and getting the teaching and doing it. He's not just going to just hand it all to you on a silver platter. But you know what? If you're willing to work for it, he wants to give it to you, amen, the knowledge. And so God's not trying to trick you. How do I know that the stuff I believe is right? How do I know that the stuff that I preach is right? How do I know that I'm in the right religion and the right church? That's simple, because I know, I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in other people's. I know what's in my own heart. I know I'm sincere. I know I love God. I know that I've spent time reading the Bible and praying and begging God to guide me into all truth. And this is where God led me. This is where the Holy Spirit led me. And so here I am. That's how I know. Say, oh, you're like the Mormons with the burning of the bosom. No, because the difference is that the Mormons are not reading the Bible and believing it and trusting it and making it their final authority. Their cult is their final authority, and they don't care what the Bible says. And yeah, obviously the devil can simulate some burning or tingling sensation. I do think the devil probably does give them some burning in their bosom, or maybe they hypnotize their people, or I don't know, do some trick on them or whatever, slip a little Bengay down their shirt or something. I don't know. But the point is that I'm sure that the devil could easily just give somebody a burning in the bosom, because he does lying signs and wonders. But you know, how can the devil simulate spending hundreds of hours studying the Bible and hundreds of hours praying to God? You know, the devil's not going to simulate that. These Mormons don't care. You talk to them, you show them the Bible, they just smile at you, and they don't even care what the Bible says. They don't care what you're saying. They don't care. Because they don't really believe. Because they're in a fake religion, and I think many of them even know it's fake, and they just don't care, you know? But the Bible says in verse 22, because he's talking about in this passage the fact that, you know, preaching is how people are going to get saved. It's going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be through logic and the wisdom of this world. He says in verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. And so what he's basically saying is, we preach neither. Here's what the Jews want. Here's what the Greeks want. And guess what? We're not giving anybody what they want. We're just preaching Christ crucified. And what's funny is this will often be taken out of context to say, oh, well, in the end times, the Jews are all going to be saved because God's going to give them a sign. And when Jesus comes in the clouds. They're going to see the sign of the Son of Man, and they're all just going to be like, oy vey, you know, we screwed up. And then all of a sudden they're going to believe in Jesus. But here's the thing, that is so far out of context, because when the Bible says the Jews require a sign, he's not saying like, the Jews require a sign, so God's going to give them one. Is that what he's saying? It's saying the opposite. Yep. Say, no, the Jews want a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach neither. We preach Christ crucified. And how do they like that? Well, unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block, verse 23. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so here's the thing about that. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He's saying, look, the only sign that you're getting is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's your sign. Because that's what he meant, right? When he said the evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What's the sign of the prophet Jonah? Well, he explains it. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There is your sign. Jesus in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights is your only sign, Jews. And here's another word for that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So what sign has been given for the Jews? The cross, the preaching of the cross. The Jews are like, no, that's not what we wanted. Tough, that's all you're going to get. It's evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Well, it sounds like Jews are evil and adulterous according to the word of God. What a shock. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. If people are going to get saved, it's going to be through the preaching of Christ crucified. It's not going to be because they see Jesus coming in the clouds. If people have rejected Christ, rejected truth, hated the gospel, not accepted truth, and then they see Christ, they're not going to get saved at that point. God's going to send them a strong delusion so that they'll believe a lie at that point, so that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so there is no teaching that when Christ returns, the Jews are magically going to get saved. Nope, they are getting smoked and they are going downstairs. They are not going to heaven. They do not believe in Jesus. And look, if they want to get saved, they need to get saved right now. Like if any Jew is hearing this sermon out on the internet or something, you know, if you say, well, I'm going to wait until I see Christ coming in the clouds. No, you need to get saved right now, because if you get saved through hearing the preaching of the word of God by faith, that's how you get saved. And that happens today, right now. It's not by sight, it's by faith. And so the Bible says here that we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. So when it says the Greeks seek after wisdom, you know, in many ways, the Greeks are kind of like us, because the Greeks here represent sort of European culture. Obviously, we're speaking English, which is a European language. We have kind of a, you know, Western or quasi-European type culture in the United States of America. And in America, we've been heavily influenced by Greco-Roman thought, right? If we go to the capital of Washington, D.C., all the buildings are in a Greco-Roman style, and even the individual capitals of each of the 50 states are typically in that Greco-Roman style. That's a lot of what our education is based on, and we go to school and we learn about Aristotle, we learn about Plato, and we learn about Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey. And even if we don't learn about those things directly, they've heavily influenced things that we see in our entertainment, literature, etc. So we kind of have that Western mind. And what's the big thing now? Everybody is really obsessed with and really has made almost a religion out of is science, right? It's just like, it's everything is about science, right? What are they saying? They're basically saying we want proof and we want everything to be explained, right? Because science, it doesn't just tell us what is happening. It seeks to explain the mechanisms behind those things that are happening, right? And so science is explaining how the world works, and you know, it's explaining all the different reasons for things, and people love science. And obviously, science is a good thing. Wisdom is a good thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with wisdom, knowledge, education, science. These are all good things. But the problem is, though, when somebody for their spiritual guidance says, well, I'm seeking a sign. You know, I'm supposed to believe in Jesus? Well, I gotta see a sign then, right? Because what's gonna happen? They're probably gonna get sucked in by some weird false prophet, faith healer, charlatan. They're gonna get some, or some lying sign and wonder. If it's just show me a sign, and they're just gonna go with whatever the sign, there are a lot of false prophets out there that'll do many signs and wonders, the Bible says. And so there are a lot of lying signs and wonders. So if you're seeking a sign, you know, you're not going to end up in the right place spiritually. Right. You know, if you're just like, man, I just need a sign from God to know where to go to church. I just need a sign from God. Then I'll believe in Jesus as soon as he shows me a sign. That's the wrong pursuit, and it's going to get you the wrong destination. Amen. Okay. But now, what about the Greeks seek after wisdom? So if you say, well, you know what? I'm just going to approach this just from a purely logical philosophy, rational kind of a point of view, you're also going to end up at the wrong destination spiritually. You have to approach it by faith in the cross, faith in the Word of God, and keep the focus of everything on the cross. And here's what's funny. Whenever I ask somebody, how do you know that you're going to heaven? If I ask somebody, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And I ask them how they know that, then it's funny how many answers will just have nothing to do with the cross. Because what if somebody says, well, I keep the commandments? What does that have to do with the cross? Oh, I'm a good person. I'm a pretty good person. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I got back. What does any of that have to do with the cross? Right? The right answer is, I believe in Jesus. And because when people say that, what do they really mean? I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's what they have to believe, right? Believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's what we're talking about. And so, you know, it's got to be the cross that we're seeking, the Bible, the Word of God, truth by faith. We don't necessarily understand it all. When we first get saved, we understand very little. And then after we've been saved a long time, we're going to understand more. But this idea of seeking after a sign is wrong, and seeking after wisdom for our spiritual growth or spiritual truth, thinking that we can just logic it all. Well, if that were the case, then AI would just do it for us, and then the whole world would believe right on salvation, right? We could just get AI to just settle this once and for all. Just feed every word of the Bible into AI, right? Just feed and just say, look, let's settle this. Do we have to do any works to be saved or not, AI? Now, look, if AI were spirit-filled, it would come back and say, it's faith alone, brother. It's not of works at all, you know. But I guarantee if you ask that to AI, it's going to tell you basically maybe by faith. It'll probably lead with that and say like, yeah, salvation is just by believing in Jesus. But if I say, no, I think it's by works, it'll be like, yeah, you're right, it's by works. Now that I know you're Catholic or whatever. You know what I mean? Because AI will just kind of go with what, and probably if you ask AI on different days, some days it'll be by faith. Other days it'll be repent of all your sins or whatever. It's probably going to be all over the place. Are you asking AI right now while I'm preaching? Yeah, let's ask AI what it thinks about this sermon so far, if I'm taking it in the right direction. But you know, it's, you know, oh, the Greeks seek after wisdom. And here's what's funny too. These Roman Catholic scholars and theologians from the Middle Ages, they actually believed that you could prove the existence of God without the Bible. Okay? They believed you can prove the existence of God without the Bible. They also believed that you could prove that God's a Trinity without the Bible, just using logic alone. How? What? And then they said that you could prove just using logic alone without the Bible that, like, that there has to be a God, and that God would have to, like, send his son to die for us. And so it's like, okay, come on. Isn't that kind of crazy? to just think, oh, you can just derive all that just from logic alone. That's what they literally believe. I know it sounds crazy, but if you go back and read these guys, which I don't recommend, that's basically what they're saying. It's like, it all can be proved logically and rationally. And there's, you know, you don't have to have it revealed to you divinely by God. False. See, we don't believe that. We believe that it's through divine revelation that we know who Christ is. How do we know who Jesus is? Because the Bible tells us. See, without the Bible, we would not know Jesus. We would not know that there's a Trinity without the Bible. We would not know that Jesus died on the cross without the Bible. We would not know about the resurrection of Jesus without the Bible, right? And so even if we could just walk outside and just know there's a God, that's not enough to get us saved. You know, to get saved, we need Jesus, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And you know what? You know, you can't derive that from logic. That's not sought through philosophical methods. It's through divine revelation. It's from the Bible. And here's the thing, the Bible's not enough. It's also got to be the Holy Spirit at work. You know what I mean? Because like, if a person just read the Bible and the Holy Spirit's not working in that situation, they're not going to get saved, right? It's got to, that's why there, we need the preaching of the cross by saved Christians, preaching the word of God, explaining it to people, and then the Holy Spirit works in their heart through the word of God. Amen. And that's what gets it done. And that's what the Bible's saying. And so he says it says in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, the first thing I want to point out is that he's not saying that, you know, God's servants are not wise, because of course, the people who serve God are the wisest people that there are. The pastors, the laymen, the men, women, boys, and girls that are winning souls and doing God's work, these are the wisest people that there are. He that winneth souls is wise. But it says that they're not wise after the flesh. Do you see that in verse 26? Yes, they're wise spiritually, but are they wise after the flesh? What he's saying is that they're not necessarily the intellectuals of this world, right? Most of your hell-raising, barnstorming, fire-breathing, soul-winning, King James-toting, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, Baptist, chicken-eating, whatever, you know, Christians, they're not necessarily, usually, the intellectual giants of this world. Not to say that they're dumb, but you know, maybe they're just of average intellect. They're just ordinary guys, right? A lot of the great preachers who have shaken this country, shaken their area, shaken their world with the gospel are just guys of average intellect, average physique, just average charisma, not necessarily anyone special, okay? Because God does not require us to have all the wisdom of this world in order to serve him. We need a Bible, we need faith, and we need to love God, and God can use us. And the Bible says, hey, you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh. Now, the other thing I want to point out is that sometimes there could be a guy who is an intellectual who could be doing great things for God or serving God, and he is wise after the flesh, and maybe he's sort of like a Moses, where he's learned in all of the, you know, teachings and understanding of the Egyptians, right? Because Moses, he knew all of that worldly Egyptian stuff, and he's also walking with God. So every once in a while, you'll find people that do both. But you know what? It's pretty rare, and guess what? It's not required, and God can do just as great things without that, because God is actually more glorified when he just uses simple people, ordinary people. And so this should be super encouraging for us all that are just normal people, right? Because, you know, I don't know, maybe we have some geniuses in the room or you know, some super athletes, anybody training for the Olympics? I don't know, where's the Olympics gonna happen next? Is it, what is it, 2028? Where's the Olympics being held in 28? Is it Los Angeles? So who's ready? Los Angeles 28. Who's ready to go? Who's throwing your hat in the ring? Oh, nobody. Wow. Wow, really? Out of all these people? No, of course, here's the thing, is that obviously, yeah, there are people like that in this world, the superstar athletes, superstar musicians, superstar intellects and whatever. But here's the thing, God does not typically use those people. Now, every once in a while, he might, as a rare exception, but that is not the norm. It's not required. And so that's encouraging to us, saying, hey, God can use me. I'm not super eloquent. I'm not super intelligent. I'm not super good looking or whatever, but God can use me in a mighty way because it's all through his spirit and his power. Amen. It's not through intellect that it gets done. It gets done through the power of God. And so he says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So what it's saying, God prefers to use simpler people. Amen. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, right? People that other people don't even necessarily like. Yeah. And God could still use them mightily. Hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught, not means nothing, right? To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And you know what our world is obsessed with? They just really want like some celebrity to get saved. And they just really want a celebrity to get saved. And they just feel like, man, if we just get a celebrity saved, and then just everybody's going to get saved because they have like some celebrity soul winner or something. But then you know what it ends up doing is it ends up just like glorifying that celebrity. And then, you know, God says he doesn't want any flesh to glory in his presence. He doesn't want to share his glory with another. And so think about all the times that we've been told that some celebrity got saved and we're supposed to get all excited about it. And oh man, he's going to reach so many people. You know, Alice Cooper got saved, or, you know, Bob Dylan got saved, or Kanye West got saved, right? These are the reports you hear. And it's usually not like clear statements from those people actually like clearly preaching the gospel and giving you verses and telling you how to be saved. It's always just, you know, Donald Trump got saved. Elon Musk, you know, this is the latest one. I just heard like a few weeks ago. Did you guys hear this? Elon Musk got saved a couple weeks ago, right? Did you hear that? Yeah, that's out there. Yeah, but that's what I heard. That's what everybody's saying. And I heard a whole bunch of people saying it. I asked AI about it. AI said that it was a little bit dubious. It said that it was not substantiated. You know, and I asked Elon's AI. So if any AI knows, it's probably going to be Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI. But I asked Grok, I said, Grok, did Elon Musk make a profession of faith at a local, at a church recently? And they said, well, there's rumors about him being at some church in Vegas and having some kind of a spiritual experience, but it's not coming from the source, it's dubious, and there's no evidence or whatever. But you know, we're all just on pins and needles, right? Just because if Elon Musk could be saved, then he could just, I don't know, just program an army of just robotic soul winners or whatever, you know? I don't know, you know, he's such a genius. If we could just get this genius Elon Musk saved, that's what we need. No, we don't. We need you. We need ordinary people that are just sold out and on fire for God, and that's what we need. We don't need Bob Dylan to do it. We don't need Alice Cooper to do it. Alice Cooper needs a haircut. And is he even still around? I don't know. Yeah. You know, we don't need Ozzy. Were they saying he was saved too? Yeah, some people were even claiming Ozzy was saved, you know. And they just, you know, people got so excited about Kanye West, the Calvinists. The Calvinists were just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs about Kanye. Right? How'd that work out? Now Kanye is just openly saying that he doesn't believe in Jesus, that he's done with it, and whatever. We already knew that he wasn't real. He was saying all kinds of evil and blasphemous things. And then people have these videos on YouTube. Kanye West gives his testimony. And it's just him just rambling and blathering for 10 minutes. There's not a Bible verse, no word of God, no Bible verse, no clear plan of salvation. Here's what I want to know. Is it too much to ask these celebrities when they get saved to just explain the Romans Road publicly one time? Is that too much to ask? Like, you know when I'll believe that these celebrities get saved is when I just hear them explain the gospel and use the Bible and just give a clear plan of salvation once? Why can they never do that? You know, it's always just some vague, weird thing. And you know, it's just Kanye West just says, praise the Lord and hallelujah a few times and everybody swoons. But that's not the clear plan of salvation, is it? But you know what's 1,000 times more effective than vague testimonies from Bob Dylan and Kanye? I'll tell you what is way more effective is you, a total nobody, because he said, I like what he says here, the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. So God will take a nobody, right? He'll just take a total nobody. I mean, when I walk up to a door and knock on it, I'm a total stranger to these people. They're not like, oh, Pastor Anderson, come in, you know. Most people that I knock the door, I'm just a complete stranger. And yet, I'm going to get person saved after person saved. You're going to get person saved, each week or each month, and you're out there, and you're going to get salvation after salvation. If you put in the time, you put in the work, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And just, you're going to get a salvation after salvation after salvation after salvation. Meanwhile, Kanye West up there for 10 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Lord saved me. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like, what? What the heck is that, right? You know, you're going to get more people saved this month at Sure Foundation Baptist Church than Elon Musk's vague Vegas experience will ever get anyone saved. That's not God's plan. And you wonder, it's like, oh, so disappointing. None of these celebrities pan out. It's like, well, maybe that's just not God's plan. And look, I would love for some, I don't hate celebrities and want them to go to hell. You know what I mean? Like, I would love it if one of these celebrities would actually get saved. But I'm not going to get all excited about it and become like this little fan or something and just like, oh, you know. They should just be treated like everyone else, friend. But, you know, I don't hate them. I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to be saved just like anyone else. But maybe after just decades and decades of just these people not panning out, maybe it's time to just realize that's not God's plan. And God was right in 1 Corinthians 1. He's going to use ordinary people to get it done. He's going to use nobodies. He's not typically going to use celebrities. It's just the way it is. You know, and here, you know, you think about these other people that have, you know, had their Christian experiences lately, you know. Hey, Candace Owens is now talking about Jesus. She's Roman Catholic. Now she's going to go to hell number 2 instead of hell number 1 because she switched to Roman Catholicism. So she's going to go to that section of hell because Roman Catholicism is not the gospel. All right. And then who's that other weird psycho that's all over Rumble? Russell Brand. You know, Roman Catholic, right? And here's what's funny. Like, I've never seen a movie with this guy in it. Who the heck is this guy? And I'm just like, oh, big famous actor, Russell Brand. I'm like, well, you know, I guess I haven't seen enough movies then because I don't know who the heck this guy is. You're supposed to get excited about this guy, and the guy's nuts. And I think he might even be a sex offender or something. Isn't he like on trial for that or something? I don't know. I don't want to spread any weird rumors, but I if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But the guy is weird and he's Catholic. And it's like, oh, let's all watch. Oh, hey, Jordan Peterson. He's going to teach us the Bible. Canadian psychologist, crybaby Jordan Peterson. He's going to teach us all the Bible and, oh, his new series on the Gospels and his Exodus series and his series on Jesus. Is that what we need today? Do we need an unsaved guy? And then he got pinned down recently and they said, are you a Christian? I don't have to tell you. What? I don't want to say. I don't want to answer that. Bro is putting out hours and hours and hours of teachings on the Bible, pretending to be a Christian, trying to get Christians to give them their money to learn the Bible. Who do you think is interested in learning the Bible? Probably mainly Christians. I wonder how many millions of dollars Christians have given to Jordan Peterson to download his Gospels course, his Exodus course, all this stuff. And then he's asked, are you a Christian? And he's just like, maybe, you know. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
And you know, if you're not even gonna claim the name of Christ, no one should be listening to you talk about the Bible. So why does everybody want to hear from these people? Because they're famous. Because they're celebrities. Because they are noble. Because they are wise. Because they are mighty. But what does the Bible say? Well, no, God just wants to use ordinary people. He wants to use me and you. People of average intellect, average talent, average skill. You know, I am not a special person. I'm just a guy. I'm just a chill guy up here, you know, preaching the Bible on a Thursday night. And yet I do believe that God has used me in an extraordinary way over the last 20 years, even though like I'm the most normal person ever. Like my height is average. My intellect is average. My physique is, I'm just like the most average generic guy ever. You know what I mean? And yet I can be used by God and so can you. You know, now look, sometimes he will choose to use a super tall guy. You know what I mean? But it's not the norm. You see your calling, brethren, not many super tall. But you know what? God can use Pastor Thompson too, even though he's a giant. But most of us aren't that tall. Some of my preacher friends are even shorter than I am, you know. I'm 5'10", though. I'm just average height. But you know what? It doesn't matter what our height is. It doesn't matter what our strength is. It doesn't matter what our intellect is. All that matters is that we say, here am I, Lord, send me. And that we love the Lord and that we pray to God to be led into all truth. And that we care about truth. See, Pastor Thompson and I, the reason that we believe the same stuff is because we both love truth. We're both indwelled by the same Holy Spirit. And we both have the same Bible. That's why. You know, oh, why are you guys in lockstep? And, you know, well, the reason that we agree with each other on so many things is because same Holy Spirit, same Bible, and same love for truth. And that's why we run into people all over the world who've never even been exposed to our movement, and they already believe the stuff that we believe just because same Bible, same Holy Spirit. There have always been people like us. There always will be. It says in verse 30, we'll just quickly finish up here, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, right? You know what our wisdom is? You know what our intelligence is? It's Jesus. It's the Bible. That, you know, the smarts that we have spiritually came from the Bible. He's our wisdom. Our wisdom is simply leaning on what the Bible says. Oh, you know, and people sometimes say, oh, you have so much wisdom. Well, you know what? No, we're just following the Bible. Right. It's not like, oh, you're just so smart. You just know how to do. No. We're just following the Bible. Jesus is our wisdom.
Amen.
We don't have wisdom necessarily. Jesus provides the wisdom for us. That's where we got the wisdom, is from the Word of God. We didn't like dream this up on our own. You know, we're not over here like Aristotle or, you know, whoever these people are. Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, right? He's our righteousness. We're not trusting in our own works and our own good deeds. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So there's no room in the work of God for ego and thinking that we're so cool and even worshiping heroes and things like that, because you know what? We're all just ordinary people being used by God in an extraordinary way. And here's the thing. Anybody who is in a church like ours, you know, I think that churches like this, churches like Faithful Word, Sure Foundation, it's like a special forces in the Lord's army. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the special forces. Because if you think about it, per capita, we have more people out soul winning. And if you're in these churches and you actually participate in the soul winning program, you're like, you know, an elite group within saved Christians. Because like 99% of Christians aren't going to a church like this. 99% of Christians aren't soul winning. 99% of Christians will get zero salvations in 2025. You get one salvation, 5 salvations, 10 salvations. I mean, you are literally in the 99.9 percentile of Christians. I'm not saying that to puff you up or something. The reason I'm saying that, though, is that you are doing an extraordinary work.
Amen.
You're important.
Amen.
You matter. You know, I don't like this preaching that says, oh, you know, we're all expendable. No.
God has a plan for us. We need to be there doing it. And I think we're all very important. And I think that you know, people in a church like this that actually participate in the soul winning program are very important to God. I bet you, you know, he assigns you like a whole team of angels to watch out for you. You know what I mean? Like if Christians are getting guardian angels, he's probably like, okay, you know, the people that are out there doing the actual soul winning, you know, you probably have like a whole security. You're probably like the president or something, surrounded by Secret Service agents. Like you got this whole entourage of like guardian angels, because it's like, hey, I'm somebody important. It's not because we're special. It's because we are being used by God to do something extraordinary, pulling people out of the fire, getting people saved. And it's not because we're special. And you say, well, I don't know, I'm just an ordinary guy. Hey, you show up to church. You show up out soul winning, you read your Bible and pray for power, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, and you will have your own, you know, angelic security team too. This too can be yours. Okay. You know, open their eyes that they may see, Lord. No. God's not looking for a superstar. He's just looking for people who will serve him with all their heart. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this great passage of scripture, Lord. And we just pray that you would just help all of us, Lord, to stay humble and to realize that we have not been chosen because we're great or mighty or smart, Lord. That's not why, Lord. We know that we're just ordinary people that you've chosen to use in an extraordinary way precisely because we're not special, so that you can get all the glory, Lord. And we don't want the glory. We want you to get all the glory, Lord. And so thank you for using simple people, ordinary people like myself and the people gathered in this room, Lord. Please continue to use us in a mighty way, Lord. And help us not to be enamored with the wisdom and logic and rationale of this world and celebrities of this world. Help us to realize that it's all about the Holy Spirit and the Word. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.